A few as good as you, but not many. And I've done a lot. Last question. I have not seen it, but Frank says that for a while there was a very intermittent publication called The Spectator.
Oh, we haven't seen it.
And that you had a relationship with it that was not always compatible.
Yes. The Spectator magazine came into being in the last half of the 80s sometime, say 86 or 87, and it was subsidized by national conservative groups. William Buckley is on the board of this, for example, of this one group, and I can't think of Kenneth's last name. It's class of 1970. One of our guys is director of this foundation. And they took it upon themselves to be alarmed at the political correctness movement in America and selected out several institutions from the Dartmouth Review. I mean, several institutions, say Dartmouth, on the East Coast chiefly, to stem the tide of this left-wing subversive political correctness movement. Everything was anathema. You can imagine the black studies, women's studies, African American cultural centers, feminist studies, lesbian, gay things, of course, appalling. They just cited all. I'm not dismissing political correctness as an ephemeral thing. I think it has become absurd in certain places. These attitudinal formulations that have kind of. But I have never been, frankly, able to take it as seriously as the rest of the country seems to take it. And the Spectator had a. So they were subsidized by that group. And frankly, they get editorial leads from that group. So the subject of the week might be affirmative action. And what I'm guessing is that the editors then have to have the task of taking the conservative line on affirmative action and using local examples to try to flesh out a story that looks to be particular and local rather than national. That's just a guess, I mean. Because they were so hard pressed at Washington Lee, a curricularly very conservative place. I mean, the faculty aren't as conservative as the curriculum is, but there aren't any women's studies majors at Washington Lee, or there aren't. We could be said to be retrograde, you know, in respect to some of these things. But the very fact that there was a person in the Dean of Students office, in the person of Anise McLeod, who was responsible for minority student affairs and to try to help minority students fit into the Washington Lee community with somewhat greater ease than otherwise would be the case. That was anathema to these groups, you know. And Anne Schwer Lamont was a special target and still is, I think. They got into a big Donnybrook with an art historian, a young assistant professor. He was a very good teacher. She left. She got pilloried, and so did I on the cover of this magazine. At one point, she was. It was a mean-spirited thing. It was a cover with a picture of a secretary with her face interposed where the so they were making her a clerical person, you know. I mean, by subtle, not too subtle, pictographic manipulation. But she was. She opened herself up to their full bore attention when she went to two or three of the advertisers in the Spectator magazine and said, "Do you realize what kind of magazine you're supporting?" You know, she knew these people in the community, Buster Lewis at the floral shop and so on, and said, and of course they the next time the Spectator guy came down to place an ad, they said, oh, you know, your faculty aren't very enthused about this. I'm not sure we ought to continue our ad. What? She's trying to exercise prior constraint, a First Amendment sin of the worst sort. You know, they elevated this to... Anyway, I had differences of view with them, but they had a kind of, but I never took it seriously. I mean, I honestly didn't, neither did many people in the community. You know, that now they sent it out to alums, and they would always have an issue at homecoming weekend, which would be a here's the place going to hell in a handbasket kind of issue. And they didn't like me very much, the early editors. They didn't know me very well. They were capable, in a few instances, of manipulating stories and telling a distorted story, or I thought, in a couple of cases, downright dishonest. And I called the editor in once to visit with him. He became a pretty good friend, actually. Well, not friend ever. Cameron was different. But anyway, yeah, we had a little playful exchange, but the faculty didn't take it seriously, and most of the students didn't, actually. It was a foreign graft, really. I wish I could think of this Scholastic something foundation that Ken Cribbs, now it's coming back, Cribbs was this alumnus name who's executive director or president or whatever of this foundation.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting that it's outside money coming in.
Oh, yeah.
To do that.
And, well, of course, they don't say it quite that way. They simply say, we are not dependent on the university for any funding or student government.
And was this openly known by everyone that the money was coming from
that
source?
Not really. You can't. I mean, I didn't see their books, but I know that's true. Mm-hmm. How much of their money, whether they got some from parents or, you know, students are writing home to parents all the time to support this or that. The mock convention to the Spectator. And a lot of people applauded this. This magazine was holding up tradition, and I say were very anti the co-ed thing. And
they
came in a little late. They came in a little late for that, but they had the retrospective view that it was probably a bad idea, but nobody paid attention to that. By that time, it was self-evidently right for the university. You know, it's really kind of funny. I never took them very seriously. I honestly didn't. I did not wake up at night worried about the Spectator. But some of my faculty colleagues did, especially the women. They felt it was especially inimical to issues that were important to women on campus, both undergraduate women and women faculty. Mm-hmm. And some of them, that's enough said about that.
Well, you've been extremely generous and patient with me. Do you have any final thing you want to say to wrap this up? Or?
No, really not.
One thing I want to tell you, that Lydia Miller from the development office is in the same building where Frank and I are, and I told her I was coming to see you, and she said, oh, President Wilson, we still have some of his letters. We just keep them because they're so beautifully written.
That's nice.
She said he could say so much in so little, and he was just a model for us all. And I thought that, as somewhat of a writer myself, I really admire someone who can say a lot and a little.
They think I'm down here writing a great American novel, you know. I told people I was going to write a novel, and I came into, I've never written a word of fiction, except as a Spectator would interpret it.
Well, I find fiction very intimidating. Just the thought of it is very intimidating to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know whether I do it first person or third at this point. But I've got my Irish things up there, you know. I enjoy being down here. thinking about things like that.
I have one. You can say it in a phrase. Mm-hmm. Last question. What year were you in a championship football team? Frank wants to work that in.
1952.
All right.
Yeah.
Frank will give me gold stars now because I got that question answered. Thank you very much.